Tommy, what is your best guess on a suspension for Zach Kassian?
Greg's, is it as simple as doubling up his last suspension? You know what I mean? But you look at the kick and the league stance on it, but then you go, okay, well, it's taboo, as people in hockey circles are saying. It's a big-time no-no, obviously. You've got a weapon essentially attached to the bottom of your boot when you're on skates, and to use it in any way to kick a guy, obviously completely wrong. Even last night, Greg, I was looking at that one angle. I'm like, did he even get a piece of him? And then we heard Cernak after say that, yeah, he kind of kicked him in the chest. Just a stupid play. I think it's at least doubling up that last suspension. It doesn't matter if there was no injury or anything like that. And what kind of surprised me last night, Greg, is the linesman was right there. It's not like the refs weren't watching the little pileup that happened either. And there's nothing that came out of it. And I looked at Hernan Salas, so I'm like, did he just kick him? And it seemed to dissipate, and there was no fallout or anything. But I would guess the league probably doubles up that suspension he just had. But the other X factor is George Parros. Like, is there anything that Parros is consistent at outside of being inconsistent, Greg? Honestly.
Yeah, well, the thing is, there's really, I'm not sure, is there a precedent for this?
There was that one play with Jeff Skinner and Scott Nickel. What was it, 2012 when it happened? And it was
Skinner got two games, didn't
that.
He?
Yeah, he got two games.
Yeah, so.
And that was Brendan Shanahan that doled that one out.
Yeah, the difference was Skinner wasn't a repeat offender, even though it's a totally different thing.
Right, exactly.
So, I think he's probably going to get more than that. But I think, like, people are calling for 10 games, and I'm like, pump the brakes. Like,
right.
I think that's a little excessive right now. But it's Agreed. In a day and era where everybody likes to overreact. So
cancel culture. Yeah. Where we're at, Greg. You pointed it out. It's so true.
Yeah. So it's the only thing the NHL is actually consistent with. If you kick someone, it's a suspension.
Right.
Now, we can debate the number of games, whatever, but it's a suspension, and I'm actually okay with that, because I'm like, okay, I watched it last night, I'm like, well, he's getting suspended. I don't get too upset, you don't have to be like, there's no gray area. You kick, you get suspended. And the NHL can't do that for everything else, which they easily could, because they put in a rule. If you headshot a guy, direct headshot, right now, every now and then you'll have some contacts to the head, sure. But for the most part, we've seen a massive reduction in really ugly headshots. I think we can all agree on that. So why wouldn't you put something like, hey, you hit somebody from behind, you get a suspension. End of this. It might only be one game. End of discussion. You cross-check someone in the face or in the neck, you get a one-game suspension. Then maybe it's two. Maybe it's five. Whatever the number is, but at least people know. But the NHL seems to refuse to want to do that, especially for hits from behind, and I don't understand.
It's funny because do you remember way back, this is almost 20 years ago now, in minor hockey, they were putting the stop signs on the back of jerseys for kids to stop hitting from behind. Do you remember that? I think that was around the Aaron Moser time when he was paralyzed. And here we are, you know, all these years later, and we still haven't really figured this out. And that's a completely valid point. And then the fact that guys are getting hit in the numbers, like that's something that starts young. I don't understand. I thought we had, you know, found some kind of solution when they put those stop signs on the back and guys were getting tossed out for the stupid hit from behind plays that, you know, seemed to be running rampant 20 years ago. I don't get it either. I don't understand how they don't just say, listen, you hit a guy from behind, this is the minimum penalty. And sometimes those hits don't even get punished at all. So I don't understand it either, Greg. We're at a really weird time in hockey, I feel like. And I've kind of hinted at this and pointed it out a few times. Like, where are we going? Where is the leadership taking the game? What's being done at the minor hockey level? And it's just this weird junction in hockey history from minor hockey to the pros. And I have no idea. And I can't even foreshadow where it's going to go, to be honest with you.
Well, to me, I'm not too upset about the Kassian thing. If we got to go back 8 years to the last time, it's obviously pretty rare that we see it. And that's probably why people are freaking out because, oh, geez, that's something that stands out, and away you go. And So I don't know. The unfortunate part is it's the Oilers can't afford to lose Cassian for whether it's 2, 4, 6, 8 games, whatever the number is, when you've already got Neil and McDavid out. So it's so the next question is, and I asked Struds and we debated this. So Cassian was playing on their quasi second line right now when it comes to minutes played and matchups with Shanahan and Archibald. So who do you put on the second line?
I honestly wouldn't put a Marcus Granlund up there, that's for sure. And then, you know, he's on his way back. Maybe you could put Sam Gagne on there because Gagne's added a little bit of pep in his step since he's gotten out of the All-Star break / bye week. And at times I've liked him, and he's had some offensive contributions lately. Maybe you give him a look there. If it doesn't work out, pull him off. Maybe you put Tyler Benson up there and say, all right, we'll try you out on a second-line role and see what you can do. And try to give us a little something offensively. Don't be as timid as you might have been when you got your first call up. You know, maybe we're taking the leash off you a little bit. It's funny how quickly, Griggs, that this has developed where all of a sudden there's like no depth on the Oilers forward unit and it's injuries and the suspension that's obviously impending. This is a pretty rough time and there's not a lot of good answers, I think, but you got to try anything. Throw something at the wall, see what sticks. If you're Dave Tippett,
well, I don't think there's any chance it's Tyler Benson. I don't see why you would do that because those guys are playing tough minutes and you're on the road. So I actually, you know who it's probably going to be because he's played there before is Jujhar Khaira. You put Archibald on the right side with Shanahan and Khaira. They were aligned for different stretches because I don't see Gagne or Chiasson necessarily playing in that role of what he wants them to be defensively. And so it might be Khaira just simply by process of elimination and the fact that he's played there before.
And that's not going to get a lot of Oilers fans excited. That's a good point. I mean, they were a good line in preseason, but the preseason is nothing compared to the regular season. Yeah, and if you're going by default and you just out of options, good point. And I've been saying it as well as you. You know, you don't want to put much of a burden on Benson. Let him figure it out. Dip your toes in the water. Get comfortable. All that. I'm still of the mind that's the best route to go. But you know, when you're looking at all possibilities, you got to kind of weigh every option at this point because of how dire this situation is.
Now, Tom, I know that you consider yourself you're a real stickler. You're like Kramer when it comes to the rules of golf.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if you saw the article or not. On Alex Rodriguez, a guy at which it's kind of funny. Jonathan Wall wrote a whole article because he was in the Genesis Invitational Tournament recently. It's kind of a fun tournament. And they showed a picture of Alex Rodriguez's bag. And then this guy went in kind of club by club dissecting it. Right? He had 4 4 irons in his club. Terrible. But to me, the worst infraction was he had an 8 iron that was still had the plastic on the head in his golf bag. Are you the Alex Rod? Like, is it Nilsson? Who is the Alex? Who would come into golf with Alex Rodriguez's bag? And just how he, you know, he had a driver that wasn't even legal in his bag. He had the wrapping still on his 8 iron. He's got the old baseball bat shaped putter, which is very weird. And then the other thing is he's carrying one of those butter knife 2 irons. Like, there's no chance he can hit that.
No. Hey, one of those 4 irons was a lady's 4 iron, too, by the way.
What's the difference?
Probably the flex in the shaft. It's like, and he had 16 clubs in the bag, Greg. It's like, this is a guy that has made close to $1 billion in money in his MLB career. He's about to buy or looking into buying the Mets. Like, and he rolls up with a mishmash, weird ensemble, Frankenstein golf bag. Like, I saw that article, and I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. And speaking of that 8-iron with the wrapper on it, he hit it with the wrapper on it. Who does that? And why?
Did he hit it good, though?
I don't know. Like, I can't imagine that having the plastic on your 8-iron when you're trying to, like, chuck a dart will help with the rotation or spin of the ball. I think it would throw it way off. And it's funny because it's all like brown and nasty and obviously it's been on there for a couple of years and he's using it, which is ridiculous. As for who that would be in our world, you know what? I could see a Rashog because I know he's picked up golf again lately, but that could totally be Rashog. Just going to sports stores around town and picking up whatever used clubs he can, and slapping something together just so he can get out there and swing the sticks until his back gives out.
Yeah, well, good question. We'll ask him next week. How many swings could he take until his back gave out? That's a valid question.
Yeah.
It's a valid, valid question. So do you think Granlund or Benson or both come in tomorrow?
Has Patrick Russell done anything for you, Greg? That's one where I'm like, I don't know. Do you think that Granlund and Benson move the needle more than him? I definitely think, honestly,
I think Granlund might. To be completely honest, now he's more expensive, sure, but
sure.
Yeah, I look at Russell and I don't see a chance that he's going to score a goal.
Man, and that's too bad. And you're kind of at that point now where it's probably in his head, and he's so snake bit. He's hit some posts and all that. And listen, I've been pretty consistent about this all year. I haven't liked Marcus Granlund's game outside of that one week in November where he scored those three goals. But this might be a chance where you're Ken Holland, Dave Tippett, and you go to Marcus Granlund like, hey, do you want to be an NHL player still? You're still young enough. Like, you've been one for a while. Here's your chance. Don't mess it up like you did the first few months of the season. Maybe that gets to him. Maybe that motivates him, and maybe his motor starts turning for the better when it comes to the Oilers. Because honestly, Greg, when someone was mentioning Granlund the other day, I was like, oh, I don't even know if that's worth it. But I could be wrong. Only time will tell. You got to play the game. So I could see both of them getting in there and pulling Russell out, because I like the tenaciousness of Russell. I like the heart and effort, but you're right. It's just not clicking offensively for the guy.
Tommy, have yourself a good weekend. We will chat with you next week.
Sounds good, Greg.